Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Kennedy, and I'm here to help you become the very best version of yourself.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a bonus episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you the audio from a podcast I did as a guest recently with a guy named John Salmon. Now, John did my Mindset and Personal Growth Masterclass not too long ago. He was already crushing it in his business, but did a bit of fine tuning and we built up a good friendship, and he is absolutely crushing it with his podcast, Fitness in Business. And I was very fortunate to be asked to go on his show and also very grateful for the conversation. John actually flew down from Brisbane to do the podcast in Melbourne, which was awesome. We got to train, record a really cool podcast, and I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation and the questions that he asked. And I feel like there's a lot of value for you guys to take away from the episode. So I'm going to be sharing it with you now. If you haven't checked out his podcast, I'll leave a link in the show notes below, but I'd love to hear your feedback from this episode and from the episodes we've been posting recently. We have some really interesting and valuable guests coming up to share with you guys, which I'm really excited about. But as I've said this so many times, I genuinely love sharing these podcasts with you all. And more importantly, I appreciate every single person who tunes in that is, you know, subscribed to the show, that's sharing episodes with a friend, or that just listens each week. It means the absolute world to me, and it's very motivating and allows me to continue doing this and sharing value with you guys. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation with John.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Fitness in Business podcast. I've actually travelled down to Melbourne today and I'm interviewing Dan Kennedy. Dan or Danny, what do you prefer? Hard choice.
Go DK, I reckon.
DK?
Neither of the above.
DK, neither of the above. Didn't nail it. Mate, how are you?
I'm well, mate. How are you? Thanks for coming very down. Good. I appreciate you taking the time and coming down. It's nice to meet in person. Get a cheeky little arm pump in as well, which is good.
Absolutely. Quick arm pump before the podcast, because it definitely makes your voice sound a little bit better when you're...
Yeah, when your arms... I'm just going to put like the baggy shirt on, so...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mate, I really wanted to come down and have a chat with you today. I don't know if you've listened to much of the podcast so far, but the Fitness in Business podcast surrounds three key pillars, which is fitness, stress, and performance. Mm-hmm. So for people that are in business, that are whether they are into fitness or they're not into fitness, it's helping them, I guess, like most podcasts, go away with some key takeaways surrounding those three elements. Mm. And I guess at the end of the day, anyone that is in business, whether they are in a leadership role, not for their own company or business, or they actually own their own business, they would understand the stresses that are involved, and as would you. And so I really want to cover today those three things, and then what we do usually is sort of link back around and work out how they all intertwine into the lives of the people awesome. That I'm chatting to.
Yeah, brilliant.
So just to give us a bit of direction. So let's talk first about fitness. You're in the fitness industry.
Yes.
You're a trainer, you're a coach, you're a mentor. Give us a little bit of background about how you got into the industry, just to give any listeners who don't know you a bit of bit of an intro.
Yeah, so I grew up in country Victoria. We've got at least one mutual friend who's been there. Some most people listening probably haven't. But I grew up in country Victoria playing heap of sport as a kid, predominantly football and basketball, but my passion was always basketball. Naturally quite skinny and more of an ectomorph type body as well. So I always found like the aerobic side of fitness my strength, and something that I also knew that I could work really hard on. And that was, that wasn't up to anyone else. It was up to me to put in the work. So playing footy and basketball, I very early on, not being the most skilled in either of the two, really gravitated towards putting in a lot of hard work physically to try and continue to further my career in both. And then at probably the age of 15 or 16, a basketball coach pretty much said, like, you have to go to the gym, because I was underweight because I was overtraining and undereating, right. And I was just too skinny. So I went to the gym for the first time in about year 10 or year 9, I think it was. And initially I absolutely hated it, because I was so used to the feeling of doing a hard running session or playing a hard game of basketball or footy, and that's what I paired with being fit or healthy, sure. or working hard.
Just being gassed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So going to the gym, like, you know, taking rest between exercises, all this type of stuff, I pretty much just felt like I wasn't working hard enough. And my mindset back then was very obsessive as well. Yeah. But I think a lot of people do feel that now, particularly with females who have come from more of a cardio or group fitness background. Getting into the gym, it feels like you're not working hard enough, or you need to sweat or leave the gym feeling like it's the hardest thing you've ever done. But
for sure.
That's just not the case. But about a month or so into that journey, after initially hating it, I just fell in love with it. Once I started physically seeing the results and changes that I was getting from the gym, but probably more so the mental changes, you know, in terms of self-esteem, confidence, all that type of stuff, and also the discipline required to do it. Again, I was never the most talented in footy or basketball. I was really lucky to play at a good level, particularly with basketball. But having been cut from so many state teams, missing out on basically everything you can miss out on, and just being at the fringe of being good enough and not being good enough, the gym for me was like my way of saying, well, fuck it, I don't have anyone else to tell me whether I'm good enough or not good enough. The results purely rely on whether or not I do the work.
For sure.
So I really like that. And I just become obsessed with it. Every bit of, you know, every video, every magazine, every article online you can read about training and nutrition. And I finished year 12, and in year 12, sorry, or I did my personal training qualification just separate to school online.
Right. So while in high school?
Yeah, while in high school I did that. I think mum initially showed it to me. There was some incentive if you're a student, you could get it for a bit cheaper or whatever. And I never had any intention of really using it. I was just like, you know, it's just another thing I can add in and learn.
It's funny how those things happen, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I finished school, decided that I was going to quit basketball, which was like a massive decision. Yeah. And I was going to focus on footy. And then within a week, I was living in Melbourne for basketball. So I'd got a call asking me to come here to the Australian College of Basketball for 2 years. So finished school, plans changed a lot in a short period of time. I deferred uni at the time as well, and moved here full-time for 2 years, and just continued to further my education as much as possible and gain as much experience as I could around training and nutrition. I was just, you know, in hindsight now, I was way more obsessed with the gym and fitness than what I was with basketball. But you know, it was my only aspiration and goal was to play basketball professionally. So, you know, that was at that time as well. When I moved here, I was the same height as I am now, at about 20 to 25 kilos less.
Yeah, right.
So I was super underweight. But in that 2 year period, I started learning from really reputable sources of people and information around training and nutrition. Started seeing really good results personally, and become less of a nut when it came to eating and training.
Yeah.
And at the end of the second year, I had an ankle reconstruction. So again, like I've very quickly learned that a lot of things that feel like really negative outcomes, like everything happens for us, not to us, and everything happens for a reason. So at that time, I was obviously devastated.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was the first time I had the chance to properly work. So I started my PT business, ended up competing in physique competitions for the next couple of years, quit basketball altogether. And I started getting questions and stuff, particularly from people who knew me from Horsham, asking for advice around training and nutrition because I'd seen so much progress.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was obviously, as I said, I'd started my PT business in person, but I was posting a lot of content online. So then I started getting inquiries about people asking for advice. So I started building out some online stuff as well. And yeah, that was, I mean, awesome. Doesn't feel like that long ago, but it was fucking ages ago. That was, you know, however long, what was that, like 10 years? Nearly 10 years ago.
Whole decade.
And so a lot's happened since then. But that was kind of, that's how I got into it anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. It's so interesting when you, like we said a couple of times, something happened and it forced your hand almost. Like broken ankle or a phone call, y'all chased an opportunity and it's helped pivot to a different thing, a different thing, a different thing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something I've learned recently as well, is that you should always just have that open and growth mindset and just allow life to happen for you instead of being fixated on how you think life should go.
For sure.
And it was a lot of that was due to the fact that I just wrapped my identity around being a basketballer or an athlete or whatever. And it was hard to basically sit there and just think, all right, well, I've spent my whole life up until this point
for sure
working towards this goal, and then I'm making the decision to just never do it again and do something completely different. But, you know, we were talking about it in the gym today, even about like my old man and his career path. It's so important that you're never too old or it's never too late to start something. And
for sure.
And you, like, if you're a basketballer, a footballer, an accountant, a musician, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
That's not who you are. It's just something that you do.
Yes.
And that can change.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you do is not who you are, basically.
For sure.
And that was a lesson that took me a long time to learn.
Mm.
But after finishing up basketball, obviously it was devastating and probably like one of the hardest times of my life at that stage.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it very quickly turned into one of the best things that ever happened to me. And if I hadn't had that ankle reconstruction, like who knows what I would be doing now.
For sure.
Because as you said, it kind of forced my hand at something else. And I very quickly realized that I found more passion and got more purpose out of what I was doing, helping others, than just everything being about me.
100%. If anyone missed it, there was a little gold nugget in there. It's that you're not what you do. You are who you are, and you do something. You're not the accountant. You're not the PT. You're not the police officer. You're not, you know, you. You're you.
Yeah.
You're DK. I'm John, and we do something.
Yeah.
And the it's so interesting reflecting on my past, your past, and when you have these conversations with people, because you and I both know you have clients and you have people in your world that feel like they're stuck. And the mutual friend we're talking about, Tommy.
Yeah.
He said something to me one day that he was chatting to a group of people, and it was something about tell me who you are without telling me what you do.
Yeah.
And that comes into what we're talking about, especially with fitness in business. It's not about having a six pack and owning a business. It's about being able to live out the journey and have longevity and like choose the path that you're going on and be able to pivot and being able to make decisions and, you know.
And live like authentically to yourself as well.
Yes. Yeah.
I think fitness industry in particular is a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know, the perception of whether it's a trainer or whether it's a fitness model or whatever, it's, and with social media, like everyone talks about how bad social media can be.
Yeah.
I can see why, but at the same time, like I'll be the first to admit that social media is like one of the best things that's ever happened for me anyway, because I wouldn't have the business I have without it.
For sure.
But at the same time, as I said, like it can be, you know, depending on who we're talking about or your mindset, it can be something that really, you know, pretty much fucks people up, really. It's just because you're looking at the highlight of everyone's life, thinking that that's how it should be for you all the time. Or,
for sure.
You know, even goal setting. People set all these goals based off what everyone else is doing. You know, when we did the mindset work together, the very first call that I do in that program is like truly identifying what it is that you actually want.
Yes.
Stripping everything back. No limiting beliefs, no limitations, no I'm doing this because I've done it for the last 20 years or doing this because my family want me to do it. It's like, what do you actually want to do?
Where are you trying
and
to get
who
to?
Are you as a person? Yeah. And then if you can live authentically to that, you know, so many people struggle with anxiety and stress and depression and stuff. And
for sure.
A lot of that, you know, is out of our control, but a lot of it's within our control too. It's like people cause a lot of that shit for themselves by comparison, you know, living as almost like a character on a TV show.
For sure.
That's not them, just to try and fulfill what they think everyone thinks they should do or the opinions of others.
Dude, that concept is like, is so, has come in. I just paused so I could chop that bit out. That's why I'm doing things like recording this on camera and trying to capture those moments that it's like documenting instead of creating.
Yes.
Because it's authentic. It's not like you're putting this image out, and I see you doing that too with yours. It's not that influencers, people on the juice, people who are pumping chemicals in their body. That's not real. And the stage and that fakeness is what a lot of people think the fitness industry is about.
Yeah.
But there just happens to be some shitheads in that industry.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That are impacting it in that way.
If you can document what you do as well, like,
yeah,
not only do you genuinely feel happier every day, but you're attracting the right people into your life that should be there, whether it's clients, partners,
for sure,
work colleague, whatever it is, like, you're going to attract the right people in because you're authentically yourself. But again, if you're just showing up and living the way you think you're supposed to live,
yeah,
you're going to cause a lot of stress and anxiety, and you're not going to actually ever get to be your authentic self. And, you know, that's like, for me, that's my favorite compliment or feedback that I get, whether it's podcast, in person, particularly when people meet me in person. But it's like, you know, I didn't know whether you're going to be the same in real life as you were on the podcast or on the videos or whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, it's just about being authentic as often as you possibly can, and 100%. And documenting what you're doing as well. Like, you know, you mentioned, you know, people on the gear and stuff, right? That we'll use that example in the fitness industry. If you're not disclosing that and you're selling something, it's fraud, right?
Correct.
And I can't see myself ever getting on the gear, but if I was to do it, I would just be honest about it and talk about it, because it's like, why would I hide something that's part of my journey that may potentially be able to help other people anyway as well?
For sure.
It's like, people really value authenticity.
Totally. And that's what you're talking about before, smoke and mirrors, which is, it's no good.
No.
It doesn't help anyone.
No, exactly right. Creates a false sense of reality.
Totally.
Yeah. And then what that leads to is then people constantly feeling like they're failing or disappointing themselves or people around them, or just falling short of where they could be.
Yeah.
You could have someone that goes from, you know, from, if someone who's watching a video, from here to here.
Yeah.
But if they didn't reach there, they'll feel like a failure. But when you look at how much progress someone's made in that time, or how much change they've had in their life or to them as a person, it's night and day. But it's still just like basing it off this comparison of where I think I should be.
For sure.
And that's dangerous.
Totally. Totally. Man, something you just mentioned ties into the next pillar, which is stress, about stress and anxiety, depression, things like that. I've had interviews on a couple of the podcasts and with others, obviously just clients and mates and stuff, recently about those topics. Have you experienced any of those things, whether it's stress, depression, anxiety, and if you're open to sharing, like how that was dealt with and things like that?
For sure. I wouldn't say I've had depression. I don't think I've had depression. But I have spent a lot of time, particularly early on when I was younger. I wouldn't say I was depressed, but I was very not living authentically, right? So my childhood, it sounds a bit weird, but like particularly in like school, all the way up until about year 11, I was very much so just living to please others, people pleaser, leaving off the opinion of others, trying to fit in, all that type of stuff. And that caused a lot of my anxiety. When I look back at it now, that's why I did feel that way. But even since then, like, you know, I think it's only normal to, I've had a fair few periods where I've gone through that have been like super high anxiety and stress, whether it be, you know, relationship stuff that causes it, whether it be lifestyle, whether it be probably going through a period where I was like partying too much, which then when you're also working really hard, training hard and everything, just trying to just burn the candle at both ends much. And then that starts to cause a lot of this shit, which then kind of continues to have a snowball
stress,
effect.
Mental stress.
Yeah, 100%. So a lot of it probably was within my control as well. But again, like, that allows me now to document that and share that with other people as well. What I talk to people about this all the time, whether it be fitness, podcasting, business, mindset now, and personal development and stuff. I don't like talking or sharing basically anything that I haven't experienced myself or that I don't know about myself. So my whole journey from when I started in business up until now has purely been based off me doing something, coming back, sharing my experience, giving that value to other people or putting it out there for other people to hopefully get some value from it and to, you know, teach other people the lessons that I took away from it. So in those periods, particularly, there was a pretty solid period there where I was like super anxious and not happy. And that's when I started meditating, you know, and then that turned into starting journaling, that turned into learning about, you know, Wim Hof and breath work and cold showers and ice baths. That led me to start reading personal development books and getting coaching and mentoring.
For sure.
And now I feel like I've got a big toolkit that I can deal with a lot of this stuff, because I think it's obviously you're still going to experience levels of stress and anxiety, but it's now a matter of like, all right, what can I grab out of the toolkit to help with this?
Yes.
Or what can I be doing to prevent even getting to this point?
For sure.
And being able to deal with these things in real time or ahead of time, instead of waiting to react to when shit goes bad,
100%.
To then feeling like you need to do something about it.
Totally. That was, you answered the question before I asked it, but it was like, there's tools there that I do every day that are like preventative, like prehab.
Yep.
And then there's tools that are reactive in the moment. And then there's rehab after.
Yeah.
Like, that was a massive event. I need to come down off that.
Yep.
Or I can feel things going downhill. Mm. What tools can I grab to pivot me back onto the right direction?
Yeah, 100%. And that is a big one, I think. It's like anything. It's, you know, if it's an alcoholic, if it's whatever, it's like the goal is to not wait until you're at rock bottom to make a change or
do
something about it, right? And again, it doesn't mean, like, you know, I mentioned partying and stuff before. It doesn't mean that I don't party or anything now, but it's like I now have these non-negotiables. I now have different ways that I perceive certain things, have different tools in my toolkit, and a lot more awareness and conscious awareness of a lot of stuff that I didn't before. And that's basically what life is, right? It's just being expanded and exposed to new things, learning from it, adapting. And that's basically all it is.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it's so important to have, like, with, when you talk about tools, and, you know, I know you know this, this is for the listeners, there's, for me personally, there's different tools. So there's people, environment, and things. So sometimes it's parents, mentor, coach, mate, wife, people. Sometimes it's a thing like you're talking about, like meditation, whether it be listening to some music, journaling, like something that's, or is it, is the environment that I mean impacting me in a negative way? I need to change that environment.
Yeah.
So
that's often what people struggle with the most.
Yeah.
Is the environment one, I think.
Yeah.
Doing the thing as well, like that can be difficult if you haven't got experience in it or you haven't been exposed to it yet.
Yeah.
But the environment one for a lot of people would alleviate a lot of their problems. I know it would have for me in a number of different times where I was super anxious, like whether it's people you're surrounding yourself with, whether it's something as like big as a workplace or an actual job. Like if there's certain things that you spend majority of your time doing or places you spend majority of your time in daily that are causing you to have a low frequency or to feel stressed and anxious, then in the end of the day, as hard as it is and uncomfortable as it is, you're the only one that can change that by consciously making the decision to change it, which is, which requires like vulnerability and requires courage and all that type of stuff. But you know, we've talked about it before in the calls that I've done with you. It's like no change happens unless there's some form of resistance or discomfort.
Yeah.
It's the same as the gym. It's the same as anything in life. Like the reason why people find it so hard to make change is because it's the unknown and the unfamiliar, which is scary.
Totally.
But if you look at any change you've ever made in your life in absolutely anything, like an a relationship would be the easiest example, right? Like anyone who was in a relationship for too long, and when they got out of it, with hindsight, they look back and they're like, "I should have fucking got out of that a long time ago." And since I've got out of it, it actually just fixed basically all of my problems.
For sure.
So yeah, it's hard to do at the time, but the more of those decisions you can make, the better you get at it. It's like discipline. It's like a muscle.
For sure.
It's like the more you practice it, the easier it gets
100%.
To make the hard decisions or the uncomfortable ones.
Big time. Hey, talk about relationships. I'm sure we've all had them if you're human. I have been in a relationship before. Me and Mel have been married for like 5 years now, beautiful relationship, you know, like I love her to bits and it's awesome. Previous relationships, not so great.
Yeah.
Sitting on those decisions to stay with that person for, well, I've already put this time in, or already come this far, like no good. Same with career, used to be police officer, as you know. And the surprise for anyone who didn't know that who's listening, but the when you're in those environments and you don't like being in them, the longer you're there, the more stress and anxiety it can cause.
Yeah, and the harder it makes the decision,
dude. And once you leave that environment or change that thing, and that doesn't mean you have to go quit your job if you're listening to this and that, and that's where you're at and you hate it. Like try different things. You might be a different area. It might be working with different people. It might be the same industry, different company. But
start something on the side hustle or something. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, where can I pivot to? What can I do that's different?
Exactly.
To try and fix how I'm feeling about this.
Yep.
For sure.
Definitely. Totally.
Mate, performance. Really good topic. And I think both of the things like fitness, stress, tie into this massively, as we both know. When you hear the word performance, what do you relate to? Like, what is that for you?
It probably used to be very much so based around physiological, like physical performance.
Yeah.
Now for me, it's like I guess I tie performance with what word can I use for this? Preparation, pretty much. The word performance with preparation. So, again, whether it's what we talked about before with certain tools in your toolkit, to be having like daily non-negotiables in terms of how you take care of your health, whether it's training, nutrition, sleep, your time management and productivity or whatever it is, how am I able to basically perform at my best every day in everything that I'm choosing to do? So if it's with the gym, obviously what pairs with that is going to be my nutrition, my sleep, my recovery, my hydration, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
If I can tick those boxes, performance in the gym is high. With work, is it getting really clear on what it is that I'm trying to do? Is it looking at managing time? Again, is it sleep? Is it delegating or leveraging by getting help or paying for a service from someone else and learning from them?
For sure.
And using non-negotiables, like I said, whether it be a cold shower, whether it be simple shit like that, meditation, a morning routine.
Man, I tried the cold showers for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It smashed me, eh?
Really?
I never.
Come off it. You live in Brisbane.
I know.
The fucking pipes are warm there.
Compared to Melbourne.
Yeah.
Dude, I could not get used to it. I was like...
You're not meant to. That's the whole point.
I was just like fast breathing. I was like, I don't know if I want to start my morning in a stressful state.
That's the best way to start.
Yeah. And so you move through that stressful state into a calm state?
Yeah.
Under the cold water?
Yeah. Most of the time. Some days not, but most of the time. But like even that, for example, like a cold shower.
Yeah.
People are thinking like, how the fuck does that even tie into performance? And hopefully I've answered this question right. But like cold shower, for example, is getting out of bed, making the decision, consciously making the decision to do something uncomfortable and hard, which pretty much feels the same way every single day. And starting my day with me basically proving to myself that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yep.
And then carrying momentum into everything else. So physiologically, obviously you feel fantastic afterwards, very awake, and a lot more likely to be more energetic and ready to start your day. But mentally as well, again, like I said, it's like I've just continued to build on my discipline muscle daily to the point now, if there's another decision that I need to make in the day that's hard, the likelihood of me making that decision is significantly higher now because there can't be many things throughout the day that are going to be, well, most days, hopefully, there can't be many things that are going to be harder to decide throughout the day than getting out of bed at like 4 a.m. when it's freezing and standing in a cold shower.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, the emails that I need to respond to is easy. The conversation with the client's really easy. The decision to go to the gym, even though it's something that has become a habit or whatever, is easy.
Yep.
So then your performance across the board goes through the roof.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily think performance is as much about like winning and losing, but it's like preparation on your behalf that allows you to perform in everything you do at the highest quality as often as possible and consistently. So it's not like a rarity that you have a good day.
Yes.
It's like, what variables can I control
that
allow me to have that good day every day?
Man, that's such a good line, is what can I, like, how can I have not just a random good day?
Yeah.
But have consistently highly productive, high performance days.
Yeah, where, it shouldn't be, as I said, it shouldn't be a rare thing that you have a good day.
No.
But for so many people it is. Yes. It's like... And that's because we live on autopilot, as you said before, whether it's with a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever, you live on autopilot pretty much, and you're really not even in control of like what happens in your life, because it's just like you just take a back seat and just go with the flow. Now, I believe you need to allow life to happen for you, yes, but there's so many things that are within your control that you can change
for sure
to determine how you are going to have a good day. And, that's where things like journaling and stuff are so beneficial too, because I can go back and be like, all right, well, I had an awesome week last week. Business was great. Training was great. Sleep was good. Why? Like, what was I doing?
For sure. It's documented. It's like a system in a business, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You can reflect and go, well, that week I achieved what I wanted to. How come? Why did it happen?
Mm.
And how can I make that, like, bottle that and keep doing it?
100%.
Do you, because I get this a lot with people, again, some clients, some friends, some family. How many times do you hear, you get to Friday afternoon, that, oh, thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
The weekends. Like, that's been a topic of conversation through social media, through the news, through workplaces, for as long as I can remember, and it still is.
Yeah.
What do you think is a big contributor to that? For people just going, oh, thank God, I get a couple of days off, man. Like,
I think for most people, it's what we've just talked about. It's not genuinely being happy or that interested in what you're doing.
Yep.
I think for sure, like, there's definitely still weeks where I'm just like, fuck, what a week. looking forward to having some downtime this weekend or whatever. But like, when I was still in school or whatever, like, to an extent, even when I moved here for basketball, I fucking dreaded Sundays.
Yeah.
Because it meant that the next day was Monday.
Yeah, right.
And like, it basically, I'd have like a 1 day weekend pretty much, because Saturday was the only fun day. But Sunday was just almost depressing, knowing that the Monday you've got to go back to whatever else. But I can honestly say that it does not matter to me what fucking day it is. I don't care what day it is. It doesn't change the outcome for me or like how I feel at all, really, unless I've got something on that we're looking forward to or whatever. But I think it's just about, again, just taking a little bit more control of your life and making sure that it's something that you genuinely look forward to. And that happens when you start like living out your purpose and your why.
Yeah.
And you wake up each day excited to go about the day to see what's possible.
For sure.
And like, I was listening to this audiobook that I've listened to a few times by Russ, the rapper we were talking about earlier. And there's a line in there, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, you think about like, time is a currency. Like literally the phrase that people use is spending time. So you're spending your time. So it's like, you're actually, imagine your time is money. And the more I think about this, and every now and then something will happen that gives you perspective, and then you go, oh, you know, fuck, life's short, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, literally, we are a ticking time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every fucking second that goes by is one less second until we eventually are not here.
Yeah. We're talking about people are more than happy. Whose son was it that had a cardiac arrest this morning?
Yeah, LeBron's son this morning had...
Yeah.
Went into cardiac arrest, and like, he's fine, which is, oh, I think he's fine by the sounds of it, which is awesome. But
that's an example. That's a young person, as a fit person,
or as any fucking person.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But if you had to categorize someone, for example, and for some of the listeners, the intent behind this is because I know what physically and mentally people that that run businesses get to.
Yeah.
In that they're physically overweight, unwell. Their body's in dis-ease,
which
we know where that leads.
It's a shitstorm,
It's a chemical shitstorm, And so eventually bad things can happen. That's an example of someone who's like going for it and is probably fit, healthy, young. The risk of him compared to some of the people that are likely listening to this is a lot lower.
Yeah, shit, yeah.
So for that person who's listening, like, what's, if you've got like a one-liner for them that's like, whether it's fitness, stress, performance, what's the thing that's like, you know, someone that's listening that's sitting here going, come on, Dan.
Yeah.
Or DK. Give me the juice. Like,
I mean, let me think about that.
Yeah.
As I think about it, just coming back to what I was saying before, it's like, how often do you hear people say, talk about stuff that they want to do, right?
Mm.
Or whether it's a job change, whether it's a fucking anything, like anything they're trying to achieve.
Yep.
And they talk about it, about when they're going to do it. They've already got it mapped out when they're going to do it.
Totally.
You know, I have this conversation with people before New Year's Eve. Like, before New Year's Eve, usually I do a podcast around it on like in like November or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you know exactly what you want and you're fucking sitting here saying, I can't wait to start on January 1st. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? Why would you wait?
Get an extra
month. Yeah, I mean, I just think time and time again, we get reminded by shit like this that, as I said, we are literally a ticking time bomb. And there is zero benefit to waiting to do anything that you know is either going to make you happy or that want to try and achieve. And often that comes from, like, I put out this video this morning talking about people like are almost too scared to have something they really care about or something they want, they try really hard to achieve an outcome, a goal or whatever, and almost like just get to a point where you just don't really give a fuck about anything, right? You just cruise through life. Everything's expected. It's familiar.
Yep.
And the reason for that is not necessarily because people aren't driven or because they don't have anything they want. It's because they're so fucking scared of what happens if they don't get it.
Yeah.
Of failing, right? Or like how they'll feel, how everyone else will perceive them if they fail.
Yes.
Whereas, again, it comes back to people just caring way too much about what other people think.
Totally.
And, yeah, I mean, similar to what we said before about their stress and anxiety. It shouldn't take...
A meltdown,
but it shouldn't take a really bad event happening in your life for you to go, fuck, I'm actually, you know what, I'm going to go travel or I'm going to start that business or I'm going to go and learn that new language or I'm going to ask this girl or this guy out on a date or whatever. It's like, what? Doesn't even make sense. Like, why the fuck would it have to wait until like someone dies or you get told you've got cancer or whatever it is for you to decide to make the most of your life when you know right now that every fucking day that goes by is one less day that you're here?
100%.
It's like, if put it this way, if you're on holidays, right, for 2 weeks and then you sit in your fucking bed for the whole holiday and say, we're going to do everything on the last day. What? As soon as you get on holidays, you go and do that's shit interesting. Every day.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard that put like that. That's really good. You wouldn't do it.
No, you wouldn't.
You never do it.
Yeah.
Some might. Some people might. That concept, is, I was talking about that on a group call just the other night. It was about gunners. Like people just, I'm going to do this. 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 And every time you speak to them, I'm going to. What have you been up to, mate? Well, I'm going to.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like something that I've experienced since like leaving my old career was a huge decision. And then getting to the point, and doing it was like, it was for me, like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it was almost like freeing that I can make those decisions. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And since then, my decision-making timeline is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And I'm feeling better and better and better because it's like, I want to do this. Is it values aligned? Does it fit with what I'm doing? Is it in my direction? Yes. Cool. Do it.
Yeah. And you can, and the quicker you make decisions, the quicker you find out whether it was the right or wrong one anyway. So it doesn't mean that you're going to make the right decision all the time, but even if it's wrong, you're going to find out pretty quickly.
For sure.
And then you move on to the next thing, or you pivot and adjust and adapt
100%.
As quick as possible. But like waiting, similar to the relationship thing, it's like the longer you wait, it doesn't make the decision any easier. It makes it harder. It's
exactly.
Like you need to, the goal is to constantly be moving.
Yes.
Right? It's just, what's the next move? Make it. See what happens, experience it, adapt, adjust, move again.
Yep.
Continue to move, continue to move, continue to move.
For sure.
And the more you do that, the more success you'll have, the happier you'll be, the more you'll learn.
Totally.
The more experience you'll have, the more wisdom you'll gain from all this stuff. And it's just a win-win.
100%. I heard that put like this once. it was about, if you're driving, you're better off being at a T-intersection than on a highway. Because on a highway, I can't even remember where I heard this, on a highway... you can see multiple exits and you can see signs for multiple exits. So there's just too many decisions to make. So putting yourself in situations where you're at a T intersection is awesome because you can't keep going straight.
Yeah.
So you have to pick left or right.
Have to choose, yeah.
And for example, if that's a giveaway, you can't stop. You have to go left because there's people waiting behind you.
Yeah.
If that's wrong, you just do a 180 and go back.
Go back.
You should have gone right. And then you actually at least know, I should have gone that way. And that now this is where I'm going.
Yeah, I like that.
Whereas the highway is just never ending. It just keeps on going.
Yeah,
all the way across the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mate, respectful of your time. I know where time's coming to a close. Last question. Again, I probably covered this before with like anyone listening that's like, where would you put them? But for, again, with someone that's that might have gotten all the way through, and if you are still listening, congratulations. Lots of people that start things don't finish them. So kudos to you. Sitting on decisions, someone that's sitting there like, man, like during our conversation, something has come up that's really top of mind. Best next step in your opinion for that person. I know that's really broad. You don't know who it is, but like whether it's, I'll leave that.
Just give yourself 3 seconds to decide.
I love that.
3 seconds, that's it.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to the gym, whether it's starting a business, whether it's, again, reaching out to someone, whether they it's know posting content.
Down. They probably know, hey.
You know deep like, down. Yeah. Like I'll just quickly wrap it up with this. But like I had a guy that I met with a couple of weeks ago who we've kind of semi-known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
He is a, I think I can say he's a psychologist, sports psych.
Yep.
Has a heap of knowledge, has studied for a long time, great guy, has a lot to share with people and wants to grow his business. And I looked at his social media and asked him, I'm like, how come you haven't posted any content? And he's like, oh, I'm scared to what people's reactions will be.
Yep.
But he'd covered it up with like, you know, there's certain regulations I have to go by, too much time, all this stuff, just a lot of excuses, right?
Yeah.
But the main thing was worried about other people's opinions.
Sure.
Okay? And that's fine. Like, that makes sense. Like, particularly if you've had trouble in the past or, you know, if you've been bullied at school, whatever, it's hard to then snap out of that. But that is like the one thing that's holding you back and it's within your control. It's a limiting belief that can be changed very quickly. So for him, I was like, all right, within the next 2 weeks, put out at least 3 pieces of content a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did that straight away. And then now I'm like seeing his page every day, posting shit like consistently. And he seems like, ever since I've spoken to him since, he seems super happy and up and about and really, really motivated to keep going. And it was all based off one simple decision that was within his control this whole time.
Yeah.
But it was like a vulnerability and something he's scared of. But again, it's that discomfort and being super vulnerable. The more vulnerable you can be, like I think vulnerability is a superpower.
For sure.
Those who can be the most vulnerable are typically the ones who make the most progress and are the happiest, 100%. In my opinion, because you are consistently doing the uncomfortable thing. But again, you don't know what's on the other side of that until you try it.
Totally.
So 3 seconds, make a decision, keep moving forward.
That's also just a really good closing point with having someone or people in your world that can help you make decisions,
like
coaches, trainers, mentors, whatever it is. And both of us have those people in our world. It's like sometimes you get to a door, and again, I used this on a group chat the other night. Sometimes you get to a door, right, and you can't kick it down. And you need someone behind you that just taps you on the back and goes, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And helps you and puts their boot on the door as well.
Yeah.
And obviously drawn from old career of sometimes you just need to get through that door to fix the issue.
100%.
And sometimes having someone that's just got your back and just goes, dude, here's the problem because they can see above and you're stuck in the weeds is awesome.
Yeah, 100%.
So, mate, closing up, thanks heaps for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate
it.
Thanks for coming down to Melbourne.
Welcome.